Greetings and welcome to our afternoon service. It was a wonderful trip, and it's been kind of different or weird transitioning back to the States this time, more than normal, or more than I remember before. I was thinking about sharing a story, and I don't know if this is applicable, but there's a widow, right? An old lady lived in a house, and you guys may have heard the story, I'm sure, and a stranger comes, knocks on the door, and gives her an envelope, and walks right away. Tips his hat, walks away. It's a $100 bill. She's ecstatic. She's like, what in the world? This could be a mistake. Next night, knock, 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 same thing, $100 bill. Tries to grab the guy and say, hey, what's this? She's like, nope, I got the right house, man. Nods his hat and goes on. The next night, she's at the window waiting. And sure enough, the guy comes up. Knock, 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 $100 bill. Tries to ask more questions, blows right by. This happens over and over. And then finally, she's one night, she's at the door. She's waiting, nothing. And then she sees the guy go back, go across her patio to the next house and knocks on that door and gives that person an envelope. And she comes storming out of the house. She's like, wait, what are you doing with my money? You're just taking it away. And the gentleman goes, ma'am, your turn's over. My money is now allocated for somebody else. And the point of the story was how they went from this thankful gratitude, I can't believe I'm getting this gift, to where it happens so often that it became this entitlement, I deserve this, I've done nothing for it, but I deserve it. And maybe that's what I'm wrestling with as I go from this very uncomfortable, hot, dusty environment to laying down on the courtyard Marriott's bed last night and just like, oh, this feels great. But give me 7 days, right, and I'll be entitled to this comfortable amenities again. So I don't know. So with that start, let's thinking about being thankful over being entitled, and open God's Word. And let's start in Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing it to him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters to the sea together, to the heap he layeth upon the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his hearts to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and all the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and behold all the sons of men. From the place of his habitations he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of the host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let's sing together out of the Brown Book. If we sang 401, if we haven't sang 401 yet today, Come Thou Fount, or choose a song. Pray together. Great Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you by thy great Son Jesus in his name. We come to you by the one who came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died upon the cross, bore our sins, shed his blood, and rose again, that we can have redemption. We can have the opportunity for the remission of sins and for redemption and to have life and freedom from sin on this earth. Lord, as we just sang about and heard about this morning, we know that we are fallen sinners. That all of us are prone to leave the God we love. We're prone not even to seek thee, Lord. That none of us can throw a football to 465. That none of us have any righteousness that could possibly save us. We don't have any horses here in Psalm 33 that we could put our trust in to get us across that Jordan River to eternity with you. We can't do it. Father, in that light, we know that we should never think that we are higher or more highly than anybody else because we're all in the same state. Yet the great news that we are justified by faith in thy Son, Jesus, and that for your great love, that you loved us while we were yet sinners, that you would die on the cross for us. Father, may we live in gratitude. Lord, we thank you for our Indianapolis church, that you put us here in this station of life, in this time, and we might not know why we're here, but you have a great purpose for us. Show us why we're here, Lord. Thank you that we get to be a church together and walk this journey of life, at least this section of pathway together. And Lord, we pray for our youth, our Sunday school teachers and Sunday school. Give our teachers love for our youth. May our youth feel your love through them. May our youth feel your love through each other. Connect them, Father. Lord, and then we pray for your truth. May your truth be made known there, and may your truth be made known here. Always truth, always according to your word, Lord. Lord, what do you want us to hear these next 30 minutes or so? Okay, Father, we do. We commit these next 30 minutes, 30, 40 minutes to you, Father, as we ponder your word. Give us your eyes, give us your ears. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. Let's go to Jonah. The book of Jonah, minor prophet. So the theme for our week was, what was our theme of the week? Declaring his salvation. Am I saying that right? Declaring his salvation. And it comes from 1 Chronicles 16:23, where that is a prayer of David after he got the ark to Jerusalem. And he's declared, it's a beautiful prayer, and it's saying, let's declare his salvation day after day. And during this time, we heard a lot of testimonies. We heard Nick and Kristen share their testimony Sunday morning for the Sunday morning services, similar to Jim and Kim. You guys did that 2 years ago for us down there. Nick talked about his provision, but God. His provision, but God. And we could read that in Psalm 33. It reminded me of his testimony, how we shouldn't trust in the circumstances, but it's God. And Kristen shared her story, and we learned about the love of a father and the importance of being a father and identities. And then Laura gave her testimony Monday morning, and again, we learned about identity, and she shared her transformation and her identity and her circumstances of life and activities as a high schooler to finding her identity in Christ. And then Tuesday, Phil shared his story, and he broke it down, and he had three great teaching points. I think he heard from another pastor, and it was, we love all, serve many, invest in a few. That was kind of Jesus' model, right? Jesus loves everybody. He served so many, right? All everybody who came for healings and touches. And then he invested in a few into his disciples. And Phil contrasts that to, well, you know what? I love who I like. I serve when I have to. And I'm investing in me. Whoa. Isn't that us most of the time? Even after our converted state? Where I'll love you if I like you. I'll serve you when you send me to Magdalena. When I have to, and I'm definitely going to invest in me. Comparing that to Christ's model of love everybody, serve many, and invest into a few in the next generation and be about discipleship and discipling. And then Thursday, Wednesday was Stephanie, and she shared her story. And again, we get to learn about the love of a father. And it was a very heartfelt, motivating testimony. And then Thursday, Aaron kind of finished up and shared his story, and he talked about Desert Pete. Another great story, how you're on a long journey in a desert, which we could all relate to, and you're so thirsty, you get to a shack, and in the shack there's a well pump, and it was like, listen up, there's a letter there from Desert Pete, and he says, there is so much good refreshing water here. You can drink all that you can. You'll be so full. You'll be able to wash yourself and get cleansed. But this is how what you got to do. You got to dig 3 feet deep and there's a canteen. Do not drink that canteen. You need to pour all of the water in that canteen into the well to get it primed. Because this well will not prime on its own just by works, just by pumping. You have to pour it all out. And then you'll have all the water. So we've been given this life. And then he's like, we've been given this life and we have a canteen. And sometimes we take drinks of the canteen. Or we can pour ourselves out. Right? And he shared the gospel to where it's nothing that we do. We're just called to pour out our life into Christ. And then we can enjoy the fresh water and the living water that he gives. And that was kind of a wrap of the... what we spent last week, right, in our devotions. And then thinking about that, on Wednesday night, we preached about Jonah chapter 1 and chapter 4, where we're preached on. And we get to see, we'll start in chapter 3, and we know the story of Jonah. In Romans, Eric preached about how, is it good to be a Jew? Yes, because they were given God's oracles. And so then this time of Jonah, it was designed that Israel was supposed to be the light of God. That was the plan. Israel and Judah was supposed to be the basking to the people. Like, this is what it means. This is worshiping the true and living God. But Israel was utmost failing at this. They were following false gods. The calf was built. And Jonah was a prophet at the time. And in 2 Kings, right, he tells Jeroboam II, like, you're going to have victory over the Assyrians. And they do. Because they were oppressed so hard that even in their evilness, God had some compassion for them. And so you got Jonah, this great prophet. At the same time, you have Amos and another prophet, I think Hosea, were saying, well, by the way, the Assyrians are going to capture Israel. So they're saying bad news. Jonah gets to say, no, us Israelites, we're going to prevail. And there was some signs of that. And then he gets the word of the Lord. Oh, hey, those people you hate, go preach to them. Those people who have harmed you, those people who have harmed your brothers, go show them my grace. Those people who you need to forgive, you know, we had, I'm thankful it wasn't me because I don't know how I would have reacted, but on our way down to Mexico, we pull in to get our visas, and we got 3 white vans parked. The one on the end is unprotected, and we get robbed, right? Kristen and Nick, they lost their backpacks. Trishan lost their backpack. Dave and Jan lost their, just gone. 2nd time was we turned in our visas, we're on watch. We got somebody guarding the vans, right? I'm like just staring out there. I know this guy's walking to the parking lot, walking back to the parking lot. We see a guy walking in. You just become way more observant. But it hits me like, I got to forgive these people. Wait a minute. Maybe this person who just stole from me, I need to go preach his good news. I don't really want to. I want to kind of punch him in the face and get my backpack back, is my initial reaction. So maybe I'm not so different than Jonah as I hope to be. When I first was, I've been studying Jonah here recently. As I first thought of Jonah, he was always a Bible hero. Yes, Jonah, dude, he got swallowed by a whale. He preached a great sermon. As I'm reading Jonah here, I'm like, he's not a hero at all. He's a disobedient. He's a prophet of God. He speaks to God, but he's pretty disobedient, and only really, and then the sermon he does preach, as we're going to read here, it's half-hearted. And oh, maybe it was full-hearted, because the sermon was, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days. Yeah, you guys are going down. So I'm like, wow, he really wasn't a he really wasn't a hero. Oh, the more I ponder it, I don't think I'm too much different than Jonah. So he's called the Ninevites, this is the Assyrians, he's called to preach them about God's goodness and repentance. So we pick up the story here. Chapter 1 is the first story of his first calling. And we'll get to read pretty much the same thing the first few verses here in 3. 1 and 3's first few verses are the same. He gets on the boat. The big sea, the waves, the mariners are scared. That they throw him over. He sinks to the bottom. As he's sinking, he gets swallowed by a fish. The mariners get saved. So even in his disobedience, God redeems that for some salvation to some mariners. He hangs out in 3 days. Chapter 2 says prayer to God. He gets spit out in the ground. Verse 1, chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with a sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh. Excuse me. By the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they were turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Some say that so God has obviously prepared the Ninevite people to hear salvation. There's some history saying that there were two great famines about that time. There was also a big total lunar or an eclipse that happened. So a pagan people seeing these outside of effects would feel that the gods are not happy with him. So then when they hear the story about the true God, the true and living God, they turn and they repent towards him. And then you got this great verse, right? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? So we know that sovereign God, that there is wrath, that there is justice in him. And we know that he's turned away from this fierce anger for us, but he sent his great son Jesus, our Messiah, who had borne that wrath. So there's a story. I'll see if I can. I've said it before. I said it down at Magdalena, and I heard it from another preacher, and I know it's, and I knew Nick had heard it before, so forgive me if you have heard this story, but this could be explained about a great Indian chief who had a great tribal people who were full of justice and was a great society, and he was the strongest and the gentlest, and he was a great leader. And in the city and in their community, the theft started. There is a stealing that started happening, and so he saw that whoever steals, stop stealing. If we find you, there'll be 10 lashes. And it continues. 20 lashes. It continues until it goes all the way to finally, he's like, this has to stop. If we find you, it will be 39 lashes, knowing that would kill anybody who only he could bear that, being the strongest in his tribe. Well, a few days later, he finds out that it's his beloved mom. His mom is the one who had been stealing. Now the people knew, right? He said this is his justice, this is his wrath. There was great respect for elderly people. He loved his mom. So they waited to see what would happen. The time of judgment came and his mom comes out bound. He is sitting on the great throne. The people are gathered around. He nods his head and they tie his mom up to the post. The executioner looks at him and he nods his head and they bear her back. And as he raises his hand to start the punishment, the chief yells, "Stop!" He comes down from his throne. He bears his own back as he walks out to his mother. He covers his mother with his own back and says, "Proceed," and takes the judgment and the wrath for her. Isn't that the story of our God? Isn't that the story that we heard this morning, that we are the ones who totally deserve to be punished? We are the ones who are totally deserve to have God's wrath and to have the fury of hell upon us. Isn't it so great that Jesus came off his throne and he lived the humility, perfect life for us and bore our transgressions upon the cross? I wonder what the mother's reaction would be. Moms, what would your reaction be if your son took your punishment for you? You think you'd continue to steal? Your action would be your motherly instinct and you would take care of your son. I am sure you'd be the first one to help nurse him back to health. Because not only does he take that punishment, at least in this story, the punishment would last for months and days. Days, months, maybe even a year, as his back would heal from the lashings. Wouldn't there be a sense of sorrow and guilt knowing that you caused your son to bear that punishment? Wouldn't there then be gratitude knowing that you were spared and that you were loved so much, that your son loved you so much that he would do this for you? There would be gratitude. And then forgive us, right? The first story about the lady who got the $100 bills in the envelope, where it grows into entitlement. May we remember to live as the mother would live. And gratitude, and may we never forget his love. Let's compare that to Jonah, verse 4. So they repent, and we see that God, starting chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, 'I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou were a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of evil.'" I knew it, Lord. You were supposed to get rid of these enemies. Destroy them. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live." Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would come of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd, and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from this grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for this gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared the vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainteth, and wished to himself to die, and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry for the gourd, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither made is to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and left hand, and also much cattle? So we see that Jonah finally gets earthly passion for his own comfort and his own ease, because this gourd that he didn't even do, right? He didn't even do this gourd, gets destroyed overnight, and then he gets so hot, and now he's mad. Now he cares. And church, don't we sometimes care about our own agendas, our own comforts, our own ease, our own expectations? We had a very compelling exercise. They've started down there during breakfast. They would share with us. They would take turns. Nicole and Jody Beer and Keith down there at CV staff, and they would teach us about the kids and about some of the things that they are learning down there, and they're sharing them with us. So some practical nuts and bolts. For example, we're told, you just don't go up and hug a child there, right? You need to go ask, hey, if you have a connection, can I give you a hug? About attachments, and someone will just come cling to you, and so they're just giving us some good knowledge. And we had an exercise the last day, and we had to write down things on the right hand side, like who's a person you love the most? Where's a place that is your favorite place? What is your role in life? What is your history? Your family history. So think about, and so we wrote all these things about our current life on the right. Then we had to tear one out. Okay, a hurricane comes, well, you know, whatever. Tear one out. Which one do you want to lose? First one for me was my history, I think. I like, okay, I can live without my history. And it goes down until there's finally one left. Right? That's what a lot of these kids have to go through. Right, their whole lives, what they've even known, as sad as it was, has just been torn from them. They might not know their histories. They're like when they get visits, when their family comes to visit them, they start asking, hey, what was I like as a kid? What was I like when I was 2 years old? When did I get my first teeth? What tooth was first? Knowing that they might not know their history. They might not get more opportunities to talk to their family. So sometimes as I think about this, I want to protect my piece of paper. I'm more involved about protecting my like who I am and my favorite peoples and my life that's set up than just living abundantly for God and caring, or I care more about that than caring about what God cares for. In VBS, Aaron shared a Bible lesson about what does God care about most? You guys ever wonder, what does God care about most? And then do I care? Then the tougher question is, do I care what he cares about? So through the scriptures, we're shared God cares most about the mercy, the ministry of his word. We can go through the scriptures and find time after time that God cares about the proclamation of his word. As we read about here in Jonah, he cares a lot about justice. Wasn't he all over the Pharisees who were robbing the justice of his people? The justice, right? In today's society, we see human trafficking. God cares a lot about that. And then God cares about the ministry of compassion, about the widowers, the fatherless. That's what God cares about a ton. And that's the ministry that the CVE would be a part of. Okay, so God cares about that. I can read through that. I can verify that through his word. I believe those are the three things he cares about. Now, what do I care about? Do I care about things that are on that on those lists? Do I spend my time and my energy about God's word or God's justice or God's mercy? Let's turn to we'll just finish in Ephesians. If I can find Ephesians. I think there's just two verses I want to read. Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8. So we talked about entitlements, we talked about wanting to care what God cares about, but now how do we do it? How do we do it? Paul writes, wherefore, in verse 7, wherefore is made a minister according to the gift of his grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the last, the least of these all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, declaring his salvation. Right? Don't we want grace? We want grace to be a part of our life. Why isn't grace a part of our life? You guys ever wonder, where's God's power? Why am I not seeing God's power? I'm on this earth. There's a sovereign God. I'm seeing the humanness, the faults of this world, my life. Where's his power at? Maybe his power is at because we're not about his business. As we read about these verses, we learn a few things about grace. One, it's given. How can we do all this? We're given grace, which is his divine influence upon our heart. It's his power. When are we given it? Well, according to these verses, we're giving it to him when we're declaring his salvation. You want grace? Declare his salvation. And you're going to get an amazing amount of grace. You want grace? Care about his justice. Fight for his justice. You want grace? Work for a ministry of compassion. Love on the fatherless.
Two passages came to mind for me as Brother Joe shared this afternoon. One was from Isaiah 53, as he spoke of the Indian chief and the punishment that he bore for his mother. And then he related that to Christ. We see that very specifically in Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We heard that this morning. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we have that freedom. We have a freedom from our own guilt because of Christ, because of his willingness to stand in our place, even as the chief that Brother Joe described this afternoon. And then as we read of Jonah and just his attitude toward the Ninevites, even though he was preaching to them and even though they responded to that preaching, he still had an anger. And I could relate to Brother Joe's passion at that visa office. You know, just wishing judgment on someone that would do something so heinous. And yet, when we look at ourselves, do we wish judgment upon ourselves? And are we not exactly the same? And guilty of, you know, as Brother Eric shared this morning, you're guilty of one part of the law. You're guilty of all. And so we all stand guilty in the same way. But I thought of Paul and his attitude in 1 Corinthians. And he's talking about how they have not taken advantage of their position as carriers of the gospel. And he made the case in the first, this is in chapter 9, and he made the case in the beginning of chapter 9 that because they were sharing spiritual things with the Corinthians, that they could expect of the Corinthians to be cared for, to be fed, to be watched over. He says in verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing we shall reap your carnal things? But then he says in verse 15, a few verses later, he says, but I have used none of these things. I haven't used that right. I haven't used that power. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. He says, I'm not writing that you'll start doing that. I'm just explaining it to you. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly. I have a reward. And just see the contrast of Paul's heart with Jonah's heart. And so may we just consider, just from that example, those two examples, I guess, this afternoon, that we consider our own standing before God and consider what a great act of love that Jesus withstood our punishment on our behalf. And just fully comprehend what that means. And then just to have just the mind of Paul, a mind of Christ toward others, right? Loving all rather than just those that we like, right? Serving because of what God has placed in our heart, not because we have to. And investing in those around us rather than investing in ourselves. So may God add His blessing to the word. I'd invite brothers select to him.
Brother Doug, you up to pray?
Let's pray.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can be here among those we love, and thankful for the word and the beautiful song and those who led it and are lending themselves in the ministry of song here in this church. Let them feel encouraged when songs come through, and it teaches us to love. For those who taught the word today, help us to be an encouragement to them, to know that we have a God that we serve who meets our needs many times when we ask and many times when we don't. And we pray that we would see that we have, that we heard this morning and even this afternoon, and how it was woven together. We all are in a valley, as we heard first thing this morning, and we can only see the peaks when we're in the valley. And help us to see our way. There is a way, but it's only a way of faith, and it's only a door of brokenness that we can get to some sense of peace and reconciliation to Thee. Then often we feel, as we heard even from Jonah this afternoon, a sense of self-righteousness, a sense of injustice, and help us to see how far we are from Thee and how much in need we are of Thy mercy. Before judging, let's look at ourselves and see how it is. And as we heard this morning, when we go look for the enemy of our soul, we see ourselves, and help us to see that and to be able to find the grace to deal with it through humility, and as we also heard, through thankfulness. And so we pray for Thy Spirit to pull us closer to Thee. We pray for many we know that we come in contact with, that we see, that we engage with in our daily walk, where we may have slipped, maybe even fallen before them. Help us to find grace to be a better encourager to them, to find the humility to see how it is we can help others instead of taking from, to give to. And even as we've heard, how it is we invest in ourselves, help us to find grace to invest in others. So we're encouraged by today. We're encouraged by the word. Most of all, encouraged by Thee and Thy faithfulness to each one of us. And we thank Thee for being such a great God and dying for us and giving us peace. And again, find grace in this week ahead to serve Thee more fully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.